The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday, February 1, already a month into the new year, folks, 2021. Steve Elkins taking a little break down in Florida for a couple of weeks doing the household stuff. And I'm not in studio. I am in a remote location. Actually, I'm laying on a very nice bed that has a foam mattress that has exceeded anything I've ever seen at 10 times the price, a whole whopping $200. See, you know, the nice thing about me, folks, you got to realize we do the impossible for next to nothing. And that's been my mantra since we've done this network. We got to put out a quality product, but I watch the cost. By the way, Steve, I've got callers that are lining up here, but on what you said about, you know, why aren't the courts looking at this? Well, investigations over November's rigged election continue. Every single judge who had a case filed by Trump's attorneys, Linwood, Sidney Powell, and dismissed them without looking at any evidence, are a disgrace, gutless cowards, or partisan, doesn't matter. Pick an adjective, I don't care. Each of them as a person, when they look in the mirror, can see a coward, including SCOTUS. Now, a law professor confirmed election fraud evidence is significant. Cases only dismissed, Steve, and here's an answer to your question, only dismissed on process grounds and not the merit of the case itself. Sounds like the snarky Supreme Court. Everybody said, oh, the Wicked Witch is dead. Oh, one of the Supreme Court, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's gone. Folks, this is the Supreme Court of the United States. Don't hang everything on what these people rule from the Supreme Court. All right. Let's take these calls first. I don't want to leave you guys hanging on too long. Cody in Illinois, you're up first. Hello, Cody.
Yeah, good afternoon, John. I've got an idea that I wanted to bounce off you guys since you've been involved in the Liberty Movement so long. We don't need a public vote if the legislatures will call a constitutional convention and fire Congress. Let's let the state legislatures, you know, make federal laws. That way the people would be better represented. You know, they go to D.C. Who knows what they do? Who knows how they're bribed?
Cody, there's
10 or 15,000.
Cody, what? There is so much you just unearthed there that...
This is the only nonviolent solution that I can come up with.
Cody, there's only one problem with this. You're going to have a constitutional conventions, and who sits as the person from the respective states? It's the state governors. You see a problem there?
I'm not sure on that. I thought they elect whoever goes to represent.
No. There's no election here. A constitutional convention.
I thought the legislatures elect within the legislature who goes to represent the state. It's actually the governor, or
it's the governor
in the Constitution.
Yeah, because here's the problem. You get 50 governors behind locked doors, and this is what they have the power to do. Once they're all seated, they may not be there to fix the Constitution. They may be there just to rip it up and throw it out and bring you a whole new form of government.
The convention of state people, they said that's a big concern people have, but they said supposedly those conventions are limited to the subject that the legislature votes on before they send them there. Is that not your understanding?
That has not been clearly defined and demonstrated to me. And again, what you're doing is handing a grenade to a baby and telling that baby that doesn't understand English, by the way, don't pull the pin. I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, Cody, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, but they have pulled this constitutional convention crap before, but they did it secretively. The last time they tried it, they were trying to do this in Florida, and that was kind of their headquarters of getting this constitutional convention, and they were highly upset that we knew about it, and they gave up the ghost. They just let it go. Now, if it was for good purpose, that they wouldn't have blinked an eyeball. But we suspected that they wanted to do some funky things with gun ownership and whatever else, push it over to the Constitutional Convention, have the governor sit down, and basically make their own law outside the Constitution. Everybody assumes that, oh, a Constitutional Convention, well, that's a process in a constitutional republic. Not if it's used and wielded as a weapon against you, it ain't. And trust me, Cuomo, Newsom, and these other governors I've seen of some of the states in this country, holy mackerel. Yeah.
Let's add up, because three-quarters of the states have to ratify a constitutional amendment. So how many do we have crazy blue states? We got, what, California, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, New Mexico potentially, and you got New York. Do we have, is there, what would it be, 13? Something like that would be, you know, you need.
Oh, well, you're you're counting black and white, or should we say blue and red? Hey, you want to trust?
Well, I'm assuming the red states are not. You know, if it's crazy, they're not going to vote for it. You need 3/4 of the states to ratify it. So anyway, that's an idea that I've been.
Yeah.
I made a meme the other day. I've been kind of promoting that on Gab.
You know, would be really easier, Cody, and this could be an education for a lot of people, especially those in Congress that don't understand that this country is a limited republic under the Constitution, not banana republic, not some fly-by-night republic. This is our constitutionally limited republic by way of law, constitutional law. And wouldn't it be a whole lot easier to reintroduce these people to the Constitution rather than throwing this down the road for a constitutional convention?
Individual freedom would be a good way to talk about it to people. You know, that's the whole theory of the republic, right? Is everybody's got their individual freedom. You know, I mean, you want to have a democracy? Well, then you could vote to, you know, do all sorts of things against, you know, other people. Hey, you can make them share their wives or whatever if you got a true democracy. And I've used that example. I said, you want a democracy where you have to share your wife?
No, they already do that. They just haven't codified it yet.
Right.
Joke there, Cody. All right, hey, I appreciate the call.
Let me give you a quick theory on why these judges did that in some of these blue states, because they're out of money and Trump's not going to give them any Fed money, but Biden probably would. So that's another way that they may have been bribed indirectly.
Yeah, the federal government has used their funds illegally gained and taxed on the American citizens for a number of years. And you're exactly right. They use it as a leverage point back to the states. Last time I heard of that happening in Texas, it was because overall people were exceeding the speed limit, and that went against federal guidelines, and they were threatening to withhold funds until the cops down here gave more tickets to slow people down more. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Need to go back to the Constitution for sure, back to gold and silver. Anyway, thanks,
Well,
John.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. By the way, Steve, did you hear this? And I'm sure Jeff Bennett's going to have something to say about this, and the program follows this one. Guess what the people that were involved in that little thing last week?
GameStop.
GameStop? They're now organizing to do the same thing with silver.
I saw that.
Now watch what happens when that happens. These people, Steve, this one move, and I hate to be doomsayer like, but it might crash the economy or so damage financial institutions that they're not damaged enough and haven't done enough damage to us. But by doing this on their shorts on these silver contracts, COMEX, we've told you repeatedly, and this was years ago, oh, they've got all kinds of silver contracts over there. You can't have the physical. Oh, no, no, here's a guarantee. You know, it's 100% sure. You know, here's your piece of paper that says that, you know, when you want to cash this in, we'll give you silver. They don't have the silver. They haven't had the silver in a very long time. And 10 years ago, we were telling you when you wanted to cash out, they'd ask you, do you want to give us your routing number for your bank, or would you like this by check? No mention of paying you in silver. So if the same people that were involved in this GameStop thing do this to the silver market, I don't know what silver's sitting at today, 22, 23. I haven't looked in quite some time. But could this be the impetus behind silver going to 100, 150 bucks an ounce, 200, 300? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting. All right. I just got a note from Mike. The mainstream media is saying Reddit wants to target silver, but they're literally making that up. The Reddit people are saying don't buy silver, and they aren't telling anybody to do it. Silver is about 28 bucks. An ounce right now? Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see who's right here. In a market that's been manipulated beyond belief, folks, gold and silver? Steve, a government suppressing metals when they need to buy gold and silver, do you think they're going to buy it at 2, 3, 4, 5, a dozen times the price? Or are they going to get in there to suppress it and make it...
Suppress it, buy it low, and then let it go back up.
There you go. There you go.
I know how it works.
Mike, how are we sitting there? Can you run that? Okay, go ahead.
Their attempt to shut down his ability to speak and also to practice medicine, and not because he's doing kooky, crazy things. In fact, Dr. Bob, let's bring you in, because my understanding is the medical board is essentially responding to attacks that have been made against you from people across the country that you've never met and you've never actually treated before, but simply because they dislike and disagree with what you personally believe. We've been seeing censorship across the board, across the country now, for several years, especially in the last few months and weeks. But tell us about your situation. Why is the medical board now looking into you?
The medical board in Minnesota has taken...
What's going on? Because
I
heard...
That's what I was telling you about, that Skype actively blocks audio, like somehow. I don't know how they do it. I'm playing it on my speaker here. You're telling me you can't even hear that. I've had that happen with people before. Skype is recognizing what's coming out of this computer, and it's not going to give it to you, even if I feed it back to you. That used to work, but it doesn't work like that anymore. It was going
out. Can you feed it over to Dave? Mike, can you feed it over to Dave?
Yeah,
let Dave
feed it over to Dave, please.
Yeah, Dave said he needs to do it at the bottom of the hour.
2-minute mark.
At the bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay. We'll wait another 15 minutes.
There you go.
Okay.
You can do
That's
it right
fine.
Now, guys. Are
oh,
you ready?
Say you can do it right now.
All right.
You can do it right now.
All right. Yeah. Well, let me get over here and push the button. Hopefully this will work.
All right.
There you go.
Their attempt to silence him, their attempt to shut down his ability to speak and also to practice medicine, and not because he's doing kooky, crazy things. In fact, Dr. Bob, let's bring you in. Because my understanding is the medical board is essentially responding to attacks that have been made against you from people across the country that you've never met and you've never actually treated before, but simply because they dislike and disagree with what you personally believe. We've been seeing censorship across the board, across the country now for several years, especially in the last few months and weeks. But tell us about your situation. Why is the medical board now looking into you?
The medical board in Minnesota has taken issue with the fact that my patients, when they come into our clinic, receive informed consent on vaccines. We talk about the risk and we talk about the benefit. And if patients leave without vaccinating, the medical board is suggesting I must have talked them out of it. And we're fighting not only for our state, for medical doctors in Minnesota, where I practice, but also around the country. We have lots of evidence now that medical boards have targeted certain physicians and many of our states to try to challenge them to stop giving informed consent.
Well, let's talk about this one-size-fits-all approach to medicine. Now, I've never been to medical school, but it would occur to me that as a doctor, you would recognize that not all people are the same. Obviously, people respond differently to different kinds of treatments, certainly to different kinds of medicines. We absolutely know that for a fact. It would seem to me that that would be a central core in medical school and throughout the medical practice, that people are different, and therefore there can't be a one-size-fits-all approach to medicine. And yet it seems like the medical board is treating it as if that were the case. Am I overstating that?
I mean, that's exactly the issue. And I entirely agree with how you phrased that, Ben, that when we look at any other medical procedure or recommendation, whether you should use Tylenol or not, treat an ear infection with antibiotics or wait a few days and see what happens. Here's a surgery. It might help you, but here are the risks of the surgery. You can wait a few years and make your decision. Every single medical decision within healthcare will have a risk and a benefit and informed consent. And again, sometimes it is such an imminent risk to a patient that a legal system might overrule a patient's decision. You know, if we're talking about a life-threatening condition, you're going to die if we don't do this, and you're going to die now, well, there's a different discussion that has happened than, say, with vaccines. You know, boy, Dr. Bob, vaccines really made a difference with this condition or this disease over the last 40 or 50 years. Don't you think patients should continue to vaccinate? Well, I think within the standard of care, we all start at the CDC schedule. And if we start there, then we say yes. And if a family says, but Dr. Bob, I looked at the statistics on the CDC website, and it looks like we have one case of diphtheria every 5 years in our country, and penicillin treats it. Why do I need to do the vaccine? Well, we say that's a great question. And as we talk about informed consent, the benefit for your child of the vaccine is pretty low. And I would argue that. And I do argue that.
Do you have any idea how many doctors out there feel the same way that you do, perhaps across the country or even in the state of Minnesota? And so many of them may be afraid to even speak up at this point, because it feels to me like what's happening with you is to make an example of you, to warn other doctors, don't speak up and don't challenge us, regardless of how you internally feel.
Physicians like me around the country, there is a group called Physicians for Informed Consent. Medical doctors and doctors of chiropractic and naturopathic and students around the country who believe that there is a risk and a benefit to each medical procedure, including vaccines, hundreds, if not thousands. And we branch it out to other professional organizations in our country, thousands and tens of thousands of doctors like me who believe that the discussion should be individualized to a patient within the context of the standard of care. And when we look around the world, now we're into tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of professionals with advanced degrees who do not take these issues lightly, who believe in their hearts that they are providing the best care for their patients. And if it deviates from what a entity such as the medical board or a Department of Public Health or a governor, it deviates from that, then we as medical professionals, me with 20 years of experience, are prosecuted and persecuted.
So why is this happening? Because it seems like the medical board is not acting really in a honest way in terms of medicine. Is it because Big Pharma is involved? Are medical boards paid off? Have they simply become political tools and they're not really about medicine at all? And these are genuine questions. It just seems to me that this does not seem to line up with medicine, and instead seems to be much more of a political move.
Correct. One of the concerns that we have is that medical boards can receive a complaint from anyone around the country. Ben, I've never had a single patient complaint about care that I've provided. Not a single issue in the care that I provide for a patient has gone before the medical board. And they exist to watch over medical doctors to make sure the care they're providing for their patients is reasonable and appropriate. And they should get involved if there is a patient complaint for a medical doctor for care provided. And that doesn't necessarily mean that action needs to be taken. Perhaps there's an opportunity for re-education, or perhaps there's just a miscommunication. In my case, and for many of us, there are no patient complaints about our care. People around the country, and this is where, you know, it's political, strongly held convicted beliefs on both sides of the vaccine issue. People from around the country have complained about me. And I understand the medical board had to talk to me and find out what was going on, if they were getting reports from different states, mostly stemmed from interviews I've given or from conferences where I've attended and presented. And without a single patient complaint, we would suggest that there should be no investigation, that everything else falls into First Amendment protections, and individual patient care should always be defended and should always be scrutinized, I believe. But without a reason to be looking at individual patient care, the medical board shouldn't be involved. There is a suggestion around our country that medical boards, without any liability, without any recourse, I cannot recover financial damages to my career, my profession, or my livelihood when the medical board forces me into court. I spend my money. They have unlimited money and immune from litigation. We have done other legal avenues, but money talks. And many of the medical doctors around the country find that as a concern, that this is my livelihood. The medical board overnight can take away a license like they did with Dr. Paul Thomas, and without any recourse to them as an entity. So we do recognize that medical boards have essentially unbridled, unrestricted power and no financial incentive for them not to be as aggressive as they would like to be, and no recourse if, in my case, we believe they are involved in the care I provide without a reason to be there in the first place.
Well, the complaints that have come against you seem to have come from people who don't know you. They're not patients of yours. These are people from across the country who have never had any medical experience with you, who do not know you personally, and yet they don't like what you're saying. So really, this isn't an attack on medicine so much as it's an attack on belief and on speech. Why is the medical board giving credence to people who are simply saying, I don't like what this doctor says, therefore he shouldn't be allowed to practice medicine? Because it's not just in Minnesota, right? There seems to be a commonality of this happening across the country from various medical boards.
That's exactly it. And it is so hard to believe that this is happening in the United States, although we did see social media censorship over the course of this last year. My ability to stand up in front of somebody and talk about CDC data, Departments of Health data, published articles in peer-reviewed journals, data, my ability to talk about that should be protected when I'm in front of 900 people. And yet, when I talk about my thoughts or feelings, that leads to complaints. And people don't like my thoughts or feelings that I express them in a public forum. And now the medical board believes that I should stop talking.
Well, Dr. Bob, before we go, what can people do to help? I know a lot of people will be watching this episode saying, how can we help you? What would you say?
This fight is bigger than any one of us in the country as medical doctors. This is a fight that has to happen at the national level to help protect our licenses and our abilities to practice medicine unique to our patient in the office. If we get down to a one-size-fits-all, that's artificial intelligence, and we don't even need doctors anymore. We need a computer. And I think many of my patients would agree they want a doctor, not a computer.
Guys, that is our interview for today with Dr. Bob. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, there is a way for you all to help
him during his fight in federal court. If you go to healthchoice.org,
the sponsor of this episode, you can actually find on their website where you can assist Dr. Bob in his fight against this tyranny coming from the medical board.
There you go.
There. It stopped. Steve?
Good clip. Good clip.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to play it. And again, this is just an extension of the administrative state going after anybody with a license for anything. I don't care if you own a business. I don't care what it is. They don't like what you're doing as far as this COVID-19 thing goes. Hey, we'll lift your medical license because we don't like you talking. Do you think this doctor is operating on an ethical plane? Do you think this guy's right, Steve?
I do. I know he is.
Yeah.
There's plenty of physicians like him, and I would, only thing I could suggest to these guys would be to get together and unionize themselves, because there's power in number, and there's a lot of physicians I believe feel the same way, and they are being pressured to remain silent. And some of them are just plain old naive. They just don't get it. They believe what they're told. But I think we've pointed out enough times, John. I mean, just today, talking about a second mask now. We started with, first of all, no mask. Fauci said no mask doesn't work on a virus. Then he says one mask. Now he says two masks. It's pretty simple to the intelligent to figure out you're being lied to. When the story continues to change, the narrative changes, they always move the goalpost. And that's what I see. I saw it a long time ago. You saw it a long time ago. And, you know, aside of the global economic reset, there's a lot of agendas being played out with this COVID-19 scamdemic here. And not too long ago, I guess I heard it twice, at least twice now, Fauci talking about the next pandemic. Bill Gates saying the next pandemic. Now, wait a minute here. How do you guys know there's going to be a next pandemic for certainty? And they are talking in certainty. It's because they've manufactured this. They've created this.
And Steve,
it's taking away your freedoms, your rights, and it's giving control to the government over you. And once your rights and your freedoms are taken away, they're not coming back, people. They're not coming back.
This is a constitutional test. That's what this is in final analysis. To see how far they can break the constitutional bounds here. Folks, otherwise, what are we? Well, we're a landmass with a bunch of people sitting on it. Forms of government are important for the functionality of it. I don't want to go down that road because that's an hour discussion right there. But this is a test. And they're seeing how far they can push this and what kind of backlash they're getting. And what did they made? God, these guys are so arrogant. Steve, way too early, they start talking about, oh, this is the new normal. Oh, we're going to have a reset.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this is the new normal. Normal what?
Yeah. Well, I hate to waste this. I wrote this down a long time ago, but I must get in before the break here. The wearing of masks is a test to see who was obedient. Break it down. They're actually recording this by age, race, and gender, who is following the rules of wearing a mask. I caught Walmart doing this the other day. I caught them in a big lie, and she kind of backed down from it. But she's taking an inventory who's wearing masks coming through the door. Also determining the success of the mainstream media and if more disinformation is needed to get the compliance. This is a test. That's what this is.
Well, there was some health official, wingnut health official in Western Texas. I'll have to dig up the story because I want to post this. Three masks are best. The outside mask, that's a vapor barrier. The inside, treated with something, and of course you have an inner layer. Yeah, I'm listening to this, and I'm going, they are not going to stop with this. You know, we've got Abbott here in Texas, folks. He still got the coronavirus, you know, we're reopening businesses, but we've got to do it cautionary. Still following the same crap, and I'd like to know who's advising him on this. Well, what lawyer or what government, you know, are they threatening to cut off the funds, federal funds for Texas? These hospitals, Steve, have you seen how many hospitals are right on the verge of bankruptcy right now?
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. I think I saw one story. It said over 650 hospitals are literally on the verge of turning the lights out and going home forever. All right, callers, they're holding on. Kelly, Robert, John, and Paul. If they're all still there, Mike, let me know, and we'll roll those calls directly after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop and lift?
What the f*** is an ease-off drop and lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we are back. Let's go to Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly.
It's a very good conversation tonight, John. I want to say, I don't like the idea of a constitutional convention because I think that's the way you get. You get a bunch of blue states in there, and the next thing you know it's civil rights. It's eviscerated. Number two.
Wait a minute. Hold on one second, Kelly. Mike, can you hear that?
Okay. Well, I'm standing outside now. Can you hear me better?
Walk another 10 feet.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to come back in here and get a little closer to my phone. I'm on a Bluetooth set. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, very good. I'm going to grab it and step outside. I don't like the idea of a Constitution convention because you can get kneecapped that way with regard to the Bill of Rights. You get a bunch of blue states in there, and you might lose a lot of the amendments that you think you really want.
I agree.
The other thing is that the main sponsor behind that of that bill, it was a 187 or 127, is Sheila Jackson Lee.
Oh, well.
Ultra-liberal. Oh, you know who she is?
Yeah, the creature from Texas, but we don't.
She's a representative from the gorilla enclosure in the Houston Zoo. That lady is nuts. If you read that bill, and I started reading it this afternoon, and the first thing I noticed when I looked at it was that Sheila Jackson Lee is the sponsor, and that ought to tell you, you know, what she's up to. She needs to be more concerned about getting control of crime and poverty in her district rather than attacking the Second Amendment rights of millions of other Americans.
Well, and you know, if Sheila Jackson Lee was really serious about reducing crime and violence, what she should be doing is talking about the reasons why these things are happening. And this idiot, Gorilla Cage, huh? I never thought of that one. But this idiot thinks that, oh, well, you just do this and it'll fix the problem. This has been the gun grabber's mantra for a number of years. If we do away with the guns, we'll do away with the violence. Well, look what's happened in Australia. Yeah, right. Look what's happened in Canada. Look what's happened in England. You just pick up something else to go kill somebody with. That's it.
Well, look what's happening,
Kelly,
in Houston.
Years ago when they talked about the Constitutional Convention, I think Ben Swan was the first one that talked about it on his show, the Constitutional Convention. And you're absolutely correct. You're actually right. You're getting kneecapped, you could restrict a lot of things that going after the Bill of Rights and limiting our rights and our freedoms. And that's exactly what I saw with this talking about a constitutional convention. It's actually limiting our rights and our freedoms and granting more power to the government. So I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that. It's a dangerous.
Well, thank you much.
It's a dangerous thing to go into.
Thank you much. I think that's exactly what liberals want us to do. They'd like us to go to a constitutional convention so they can kneecap us right there.
Yeah.
They have their grand plans here. Let's not forget that, Kelly. Pushing us into
right
a civil
that.
War or whatever the case may be. We're going to have to take each one of these blows and deflect them or absorb them as they come because they're not going to quit. There's only one small problem that they have. It's called a constitution. The feds have got one, and each state's got one. So unless they want to start turning over the amendments of the federal and state constitutions, good luck with that one, Charlie.
Well, as long as the constitution is intact, they'll have a problem. I just finished reading a book last night. It was an Irving Wallace novel from 1976. It was titled The R Document. And it was a document that revolved around a plot to pass a 35th Amendment, which suspended the Constitution in times of emergency.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very good novel. And as I read that thing, I thought, my God, I see parallels in that novel between that novel and what I see happening with the Democrats right now, because they're trying to set up a system of government in which they could just suspend the Constitution and rule by decree. And that's exactly what that novel was about.
Well, and that's what the administrative... Understand something. That's what the administrative state already is doing. What they want to do is make it the new normal and put it on steroids.
Oh, they do. They do. And look, if you read that book, I think you'd be appalled. I think you'd be amazed at the parallels between what Wallace describes in that novel and what Biden and others do. Biden with his frenetic signing of all these EOs is doing the same thing right now.
You want to have some fun if you've got a couple hours to kill? Go watch The Day the Earth. Go watch the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. The movie is only 50 years old, but it's the first propaganda piece that I saw coming out of Hollywood for what? To give the United Nations greater power over all of us citizens worldwide, irrespective of country.
That movie is 1951, the year I was born. I've seen it many times, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
The last thing I want to tell you is that with regard to ammo, some years ago I saw this happening, and I decided I'm going to change my strategy about buying firearms and ammo. And so I decided not to buy AR-15s and AK-47s. I stuck with other firearms.
and ammo. And so I went after 8mm Mauser, 7mm Mauser, 7.62x54, whatever. And I've had no problem collecting thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo.
Still shoot the same, doesn't it?
It all shoots the same, but right now you got people going out there buying AR-15s. They can't find ammo.
And if the United Nations now, here's the thing, and I got to let you go, Kelly, because we've got a lot of other callers. If United Nations ever does hit U.S. soil, don't worry, they're going to be the new supply line because their weapon of choice is the 223. So don't worry, they'll be supplying us.
Okay. In the future. Well, all right. my eight millimeter Mauser with a sniper scope can hit somebody from a mile. I guarantee you. I'll take them out.
Thank you, Kelly.
Good night.
Robert in Central Texas. Hello, Robert. Thanks for holding.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'll have to agree with Kelly. I've gotten rid of all my ARs and AKs and stuff like that. I'm a 38-357 kind of guy, lever-action rifles. I kind of go with what he's saying. But I wanted to say something to Steve. He'll like this. So somebody I know that works at a hospital took their first shot COVID. Then they took their second shot, and guess what? They couldn't go to work for 2 days. You ever heard that one before?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I reported that already. A couple of people in my wife's office had the same issue. Yeah.
I listened to your show. That's what I'm getting at. I was just trying to make a joke there. Yeah. But
wow.
And did you guys – have you all listened to Keith Rogers' show from last night? Did you happen to listen to that, Steve, after you got off your show?
You know what? I was hoping to patch in. And Ken took me out of the loop there, so I did not know. I have to go back. I talked to Keith. He always gives me a heads up on a show, so I do know what he talked about.
I would like to have you guys' perspective on that. I'd learned a lot on that show myself. I listened to it this morning. And I think this GameStop thing is just going to be an excuse for them to crash the economy because, these people come in and did their little deed, and now we screwed up. Oh man, they just took, they messed everything up. I'm just kind of
The problem is, and you're hearing the complaints from the other side. We need more regulation. Mm-hmm. We need the Security and Exchange Commission to step in. What they basically did was they unearthed the short game. That's all that they did, and what it cost these guys was billions of dollars. Steve, have you heard a billions of dollars figure yet? I've heard 50 billion.
I thought I heard 70. I thought I heard 70 billion.
That's what I heard.
Okay, conservatively. Yeah, conservatively 50 and maybe as much as $70 billion. And all they did was interrupt the game that they had been playing for years. So if it does crash the market and it chases these creatures out of it, well, I don't know. Is that a bad thing? Because this is the last thing, Robert. This is the last.
I'm sorry. There's a delay there.
Yeah, Robert. This is the last card that the globalists have to play, and it's the financial one. They're working on everything else, most assuredly. But this is the one strong arm. This is the one strong arm that they will use against governments worldwide. Do not let this happen. It will crash the markets. Okay. Or so what do we do? Well, leave the thieves in there, Robert?
I want to – one last thing I want to – this is a funny story. I came back from Fort Rucker to Fort Hood back in the 80s, and this kind of goes with the shot thing. So I'm – checking back into Fort Hood, and I got my little yellow card, you know, John, that they stamped and kept all of our shot records. And I'm talking to this specialist, and he's going to give me a shot. And I said, man, I'm going to be going down to the club tonight. I'm going to be doing some partying. He goes, you're going to do some partying? I said, man, I'm going to be doing some serious partying. I literally, this is no joke, he took that syringe and just shot it in the air and stamped it and says, have a good night. So, all right. Anyway, guys, have a good night. I'm waiting on my T-shirt. Let me know when they come in. I'll be sending your money.
I think we already established you can send the money. We'll send you the T-shirt. You can trust us.
Yeah. I know. I'm just kidding.
But you're still
going
to hold on. That means you're slowing down the process. We've got to order, what was it, the extra, extra large?
At least two, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what my detergent my wife uses, and that all my clothes keep shrinking. I have no idea, buddy.
Good night, guys. Thank you. As I've discovered, stop using clothes dryers because they just eat up your clothes. That's all that they do. At any rate, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let me go to next. What do we get? John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm going back to what we consider a constitutional country here, and that takes me back to the Act of 1871. So that when that took place, things changed, and why can't that be reversed? Because that would eliminate all of this corruption because we're dealing with a corporation that's bankrupt already, and I see no reason why they should continue to be able to do business if they're bankrupt, and it's not for the betterment of the people. And I think Lynn Wood brought some information out in an interview I saw. He did interview number 9, if people want to listen to that. That made me think about it. That we are just dealing with something that is not a reality, a corporation, and that if any corporation goes bankrupt, they have to dissolve if they can't cover their debt. So we would go back to before 1871 when there was a constitution in place and run business as it should be. Does that make any sense?
And was included the original 13th Amendment that kept the damn lawyers out of government. By the way,
right,
John, I posted a story up today that gives you a more detail on how the billionaire boys are actually taking over civil society. I would invite people to go to republicbroadcasting.org, read that story, then pass it along. The billionaire takeover of civil society.
Right, and I'm there right now. I'll look for it, but this is a very fraudulent system we're in, and they it's now that it's gone very rogue and completely out in the open, how could it be dissolved? I mean, what would take it to reverse the Act of 1871 that would eliminate the corporate identity? What would it? Because was that a legitimate act? Was that done under duress? And can it be just eliminated, which would just cancel out everything after it?
Well, when we're talking about corporate dollars and the influence in the government, whether it's by way of lobbyists, whether it's direct bribes, whether it's whatever, anything post 1871, John, I would highly suspect, because at that point in time, Papa had a brand new bag, and they were having their centralized party for federal power in Washington, D.C. Hence, then you saw federal law. Of course, we had to have courts in the states to adjudicate the federal laws and how it affected the states and the complaints and the, yeah, and on and on and on it goes. I don't have a simple, quick answer for that, but it's a damn good question. It's a bigger question than my small answer can give you.
Well, I just want to let your audience know that, folks, this is what we have to have reversed because that's what they're following. You can talk Constitution and government, governors, and all this garbage, but the Act of 1871 got this ball rolling, and that has to be reversed.
Well, a good start would be what? What I've been pounding on for more than 3 decades. The very tool that they use to control everything, and that's called the funny money people.
Yeah, the printing of the money, which is, you see, if I was bankrupt, I couldn't just print money to get myself out of bankruptcy, but that's what they're doing, so it's fraudulent, and it's not even real money. So we have to think of 1871, folks, and get that thing reversed because the rest will just tumble. I'm hoping and praying that might be something in the future because Lynn Wood talked about Trump being our 19th president. And people just have to reflect on what that means.
The 19th
and he also
president.
Supposedly the military is in charge, too. So that's why the National Guard is probably there, because they know that this is getting a little hairy, when the military is taking. I think that's what's taking place myself. But that's all conjecture. But God bless you,
all
too.
Right. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. By the way, Biden is to meet with Republicans proposing a $618 billion virus aid package. Well, that's the Republican argument. They want $618 billion on a coronavirus relief. But the Democrats want $1.9 trillion. You know what? What's the difference, Steve? What's millions and billions and trillions between friends? You're trying to cover a bankrupt operation? It's the only thing they got left to do. Keep borrowing.
You know, I heard that same thing talking about that the military might be in charge right now. And Keith and I were talking about that. But think of this. If there's some kind of military coup going on right now, let's say that they forced out Harris and Biden. So then you're under military. So what's worse? And who would they put in the Oval Office? What direction would you still be going in if it's a military coup? You're under military rule now.
When I think of how many traitors with all the fruit salad and the braids and the medals and these supposed generals in the Pentagon, that is scary to me. How many of these people are actually defending and protecting the Constitution? Or they're just giving lip service so they can get their nice little retirement and wear a bunch of fruit salad. Yeah. Right. Let's go to Paul in Florida. Hello, Paul.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hey, I go back to when you used to have Bob Chapman and Robbie Noel on. Man. Those are good days back then, 08, 09, 010. May he rest in peace, Bob Chapman. Good man.
And what I've heard, Robbie Noel.
And Robbie Noel.
Right.
Anyway, you guys just brought up something I was just going to bring up, is the situation down in the old Burma. As far as, basically those guys struck like lightning. And they took control of the media down there. Now, I agree with you. We don't really know who could take over in the United States as far as the military. But there is sort of a blueprint there on, for the last 5 or 6 months, I've heard, Steve Pachinik and General Flynn and all these guys are going to do this and do that. And, the AJ down there in Austin with his whole troop down there. But those guys seem to quietly do that over there in Myanmar. And I don't know. We'll have to see how that shakes out. I mean, there's probably a lot of patriots in the military, too. I mean, we might need to have a situation where these guys go in there, at the very least, CNN has become poison, MSNBC.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it couldn't be any worse as far as that goes. I mean, I've watched more television in the last 48 hours than I haven't watched in a long time. And my God, I just couldn't even believe what I saw. It was terrible. And, a lot of people aren't talking about what's going on down there in Myanmar. But, I heard that that's what was going to happen, and those guys just quietly did it. And I know it's a small country. And we can't really be compared to those guys, but I have to say that their tactics were pretty spot on how to get control of the government. That woman they put in there is clearly a globalist puppet. So, I mean, it's not. I know it might be a micro blueprint of what we need to do, but it's not entirely something to dismiss either.
Well, most coups in most countries are done by what? The military.
Yeah. And I think we still have a lot of good guys in the military that, there seems to be a serious problem we have with the media. And there's so much poison coming out of there that the first thing those guys did down there in Myanmar was to shut down the government-controlled propaganda, which is basically CNN, MSNBC. So I can't see, the first step to try to get this thing back. I understand the constitutional issues, but I don't see any other way at this point. I mean,
maybe there's a Maybe there is a gremlin in our new Space Force that can shut down the satellites that they use to broadcast. Because short of going and getting out a big can of Raid and spraying their news headquarters, I see no other way of doing that.
I think they must have that.
They've got the kill switch, John. They could use the kill switch.
They do, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
I think if we, I know that's talking big, but it's like, I mean, I have no else. Been studying this for a long time, and I just can't see any other way but these guys make a move on the media. I mean, there's, and then we can do what we have to do on our end constitutionally to get these bozos out of there, because it's they seem to like thrive off of the media. It's like
I get that. That's why we're here, and I've been here for 30 years, is because of said media. Yeah. At any rate, Paul, I appreciate your call. We're running out of time here.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. And by the way, before we get out of here, we talked about this earlier on the issue of Silver's the new GameStop. This is coming from One America News, price boosted by online movement. The price of silver is rallying as the online trading movement, fueling the rise of unloved shares like GameStop, took a shine to the precious metal. Silver futures jumped almost 12% today to over $30 an ounce, an 8-year high. On Twitter, Silver Squeeze, hashtag Silver Squeeze, was trending as investors turned their attention to the latest market strategy to emerge from the Wall Street Bets forum on Reddit. The online army of Reddit traders have over the past week rallied to defend out-of-favor companies such as GameStop, AMC, defeating hedge funds, and had bet the shares would fall by selling them short. Now, silver has become the latest example of the influence wielded by followers of Wall Street Bets targeting inequality in the global financial market. Michael Every, global strategist at Rabobank, said that the claims online include that gold and silver prices are being suppressed by financial bets against them. Now, if the price goes up enough for an extended period of time, the thinking goes the big investors who bet against gold and silver would eventually have to reverse those trades. Now, the silver market frenzy also extended to a physical demand for the metal. I give you Silver Mountain, a Netherlands-based bullion dealer, said on its website that due to extreme market volatility, we cannot accept any new orders at this moment. Demand overflowed in Australia mining stocks shares, even those that have yet to start producing any metal whatsoever. Silver Mines Limited, which is also working on undeveloped deposits, jumped 50% on Monday. So if you say there's no fire to the smoke, we'll just see how this all turns out. At any rate, Steve, appreciate it, my friend.
You're welcome.
I don't think I don't think we've ever done a program that we were both remote. And aside from the glitch there on the playback of that video, it wasn't too bad.
It was a good clip, though. Good clip to play.
All righty. Folks, thank you for being here. Support this network. It's your lifeline to the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, enough of us. If we say it'll set you... Well, you get the idea. All for one and none for them. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it, bud. Thank you for being here this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.